Greetings, everyone. I'm Prophet Jacqueline Falting, and I'm part of the Restored Government of God. Today, I'd like to share with you about the gift of knowledge for faith by reading from Apostle Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 10 to 14. We start reading from just after the Apostle assured the Romans of his prayers for them, as he hopes to journey to Rome. Verse 10, making request, if by any means now, at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. The will of God has to do with the power of God, and the apostles taught those under their oversight that Jesus Christ is the will and power of God. Today, God has restored the same wisdom and instruction by restoring apostolic stewardship to the church. By that instruction, we learn that the will of God, which Apostle Paul speaks of, does not have to do with the details of man's daily life, but with the unfolding of his plan in Jesus Christ. God gave us the tokens of Jesus, which represent him. And these tokens tether us to God's throne. Our labor with these tokens of Christ separate us from the world unto God, to express Jesus Christ. We also bring our request before the Lord in our daily prayers. But, like Apostle Paul, we no longer pray according to our own perceptions, but according to God's will, as we reflect on the knowledge of His covenant and consent to the work of His Spirit by prayer in tongues. Verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end here may be established. Stewardship is a gift and refuge to the church, as God impart to us the unfolding of His mysteries through His steward, to establish the saints in His care. God's great promises are His covenant promises, by which we partake of Him, as He daily gives substance to our hope. Grace and truth carry the promises of God for the purpose of our separation from the world unto Him. As Apostle Paul longed to visit these saints to build them up in the faith through his instructions, so too God provides for the saints today through the teaching of His restored spiritual government. God sanctified the tools of Jesus' covenant, beginning with His government, truth, and spirit, for our labor of faith, for the purpose of keeping our souls tethered to Him, and for Him to increase our souls with His grace. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, in preparing the apostles, Jesus goes on to say, "And you shall be witness unto me," meaning those who bear the measure of grace in His calling will confirm His record, not Moses' record. So then, all the tools of the new covenant are inscribed with the name of Jesus for our contact with Him. And all these tools of the new covenant bear witness of Jesus. Aside from the spiritual gift of instruction, God shares through His government, the gifts of the Spirit is also one of the 9 spiritual tools of the new covenant. And these are spiritual gifts, not of our signature. The gifts of the Spirit are not intended for evangelism, but rather carry the grace of God into the soul for the divine change in the soul. There are 9 gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 10. And these gifts are distributed by the Spirit of Christ as He wills. None of these 9 gifts are gifted with any particular manifestations, and therefore they do not constitute a calling or ministry. These gifts will continue to be in operation for profit and ability to fully function in God's kingdom. The restored body of Christ starts with the foundation and altar of Christ, so that all believers will know God's purpose and learn how to serve Him with the fruits of the Spirit in the soul. A believer learns to operate in the grace of God as he learns how to use Jesus' tools. Verse 12. That is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. The basic concept for comfort in both the Old and New Testaments is encouragement, whether by words or the presence of another to help in time of need. When Jesus promised to send us the Comforter, He was teaching us that it is in the unity of the Spirit that the saints will find comfort, as He is given to bear witness to Christ in the holy knowledge, quickening understanding within the heart. Expanding on the word mutual. You use mutual to describe a situation, a feeling or action that is experienced, felt or done by both of two people mentioned. When the apostle speaks of mutual faith, he underlines the unity in the Spirit shared by those within the covenant, as we all build upon the same foundation and so speak the same thing. Faith is the second element of the gospel that defines our contact with God and His work in us to transform our heart. Faith is the yielding of the world to grace. When faith is self-centered rather than Christ-centered, then a person will call this imagination faith. But true faith does not project for what it does not see, but reflects on the revelation of God to reciprocate to God the knowledge of Christ by which He is seen. Faith is obedience to grace, whereby we see the law of reciprocation in kind and how God initiates grace for man's response, thus teaching us that our increase is by our contact with Him. Knowing this helps us to understand the need for the spiritual tools of the new covenant, for it is through this activity of faith that God ministers grace from His throne to our hearts. Grace and truth is the new covenant law that God gives through Jesus Christ. And faith bonds and builds with the Spirit to beget charity. And the anointing is a necessary ingredient of faith to reflect Christ in our understanding. Faith unites us in Christ, and our labor with His grace and truth is the bond that joins us to God. Truth is defined as facts that are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. Verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, that I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles. Let's look at the word ignorant for a moment. Many believe that ignorance is innocence, but it is not. God provides stewardship in order to give knowledge for faith. Even in the Old Testament, God addressed the need to conform to His knowledge, as we see in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3. The Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The instructions of God through the steward of His election frames the faith of His people to meet His standard and expectation. Those who are in darkness are absent of the knowledge that saves us, and the absence of the knowledge of Christ from the mind makes a person as a wild beast. and an untamed beast, seeks nothing but his own pleasure in pursuit of his own principle. We read in the Bible that God tore the veil of the temple from top to bottom when Jesus died, thus signifying that he was removing the barrier between himself and believers, providing a new covenant to remove ignorance from the soul of man. Those who refuse the terms of Jesus' covenant revert back to the blood of an animal, as they look to the law of sin as the starting point to serve God and to know Him. This offends God, as it dishonors the blood of Jesus shed for our redemption. As mentioned before, many believe that ignorance is innocence, but it is not. The temptation is not to accept ignorance as a covering of light. God calls ignorance a veil, which is only removed in Christ when we take on His knowledge and priesthood. Expounding on the fruit Apostle Paul hoped to find amongst the Romans, this speaks of God's will for our faith to be fruitful through the work of regeneration and the renewing of the mind. By our first birth into sin, Satan colored our perceptions in iniquity. Everything that Satan sowed in our heart was for the purpose of keeping us in ignorance under his yoke, which oppressed and scarred the soul with fruits of iniquity. When you start to follow God's due process by converting to Jesus' covenant, that yoke of Satan is removed, and the restoration of our soul begins by the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit, removing the root and fruit of iniquity, and birthing within us the fruit of Christ's virtue. When we join ourselves to God in covenant, God begins to challenge our thought patterns and perspectives, which we overcome by His power through our consent in faith labor with His tools in our cycles of growth. Hereby, we begin to grow in grace and begin to experience these points of transition as we then look at the fruits of iniquity differently and begin to understand God's process for overcoming them. When we look at the fruit of the Spirit, we come to know God and grow in His fruit of righteousness. These fruits represent that product of Jesus taking shape within man's soul. This is the sprouting of the seed of God. The seed is activated by truth, which the Holy Spirit effects to bring change in the soul and nature of man. This is why the Scripture speaks of an abundance of grace, grace multiplying, faith increasing, and the fruits of righteousness replacing the fruits of iniquity. Verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Debt or debtor indicates the obligation of a righteous life, which we owe to God, and the call to bear fruit and inform, which God expects of us in Christ. Apostle Paul here also refers to the weight of responsibility in the calling, in that it is not a rank or title, as some consider, but rather a responsibility in service to God's people. He further on in Romans chapter 15 verse 27 also brings out that those who are ministered to in spiritual things are debtors to those who minister to them. We are all called to sow charity one to another. The Spirit is teaching us that we are no longer debtors to sin, but freed in Christ to be indebted only to His righteousness. How beautiful is the willingness of God, the great and divine creditor, to release us from the guilt and condemnation of the indebtedness of our first birth. Just so ought we to be imitators of the Father in heaven who is merciful. Wisdom is a capacity of the mind that allows us to understand life from God's perspective. Throughout the book of Proverbs, God through Solomon encourages us to get wisdom. The wisdom of God gives us direction with the knowledge of Christ, so that we can walk in agreement with God through the tools of Christ. Christ embodies His wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And through grace, God gave us His perspective, His thoughts. This unfolds to us the record of Christ, to direct us in His love, to walk with a pure conscience. And it is by grace that we are able to walk as the new man in Christ. Thank you. That brings us to the end of this exhortation. Again, this was Prophet Jacqueline, and I'd like to encourage those listening to also visit our website to share in many more riches God has for His church today.